Live and local. Mornings with Todd Sargent. For our sponsor, Harvey Norman Computers, Rutherford and Bennett's Green.
It's a bit of a fitness Monday. We're going to find out a little bit about the Australian Eating Survey in the next 20 minutes or so, and the possibility of removing electronic devices from kids' bedroom and getting back out on the bike, or getting him back out to do a little bit of exercise. But right now, lovely to have nutritionist Dr. Rosemary Stanton with you. An interesting story I read last week that it appears some Australian toddlers are consuming their recommended daily salt intake in just one meal. Rosemary, good morning. Is that true?
Unfortunately, it is, yes. Some of these toddler meals, and you have to wonder why we need special toddler meals, because they weren't anything particularly sort of strange, and in fact, they were recommended for children aged 12 months to 5 years, and they were things like spaghetti bolognese. Now, the family presumably eats spaghetti bolognese, so I'm not quite sure why the kids couldn't eat that too. But there are these special meals being promoted for children, and why on earth some of them have added salt is a little bit beyond me, because I think that the information has been available and promoted to food companies for quite some time, particularly by the George Institute, that we really mustn't be adding salt to children's meals. And the baby food people picked up that message a very long time ago, and so salt is not added to those sort of baby foods. I would dispute that we actually need baby foods, but at least they're not adding salt to them. But once it gets to the toddler age, in goes the salt.
You know, major supermarkets and major food manufacturers, they get a little bit upset if you come out and say, look, it's all about the consumer, it's all about coming up with a new idea to boost sales. But you would have to say that would be one of the reasons. As you said, if the family makes spaghetti bolognese, why isn't it good enough for the toddlers to have the same that mum and dad and brothers are eating?
Absolutely no reason. In fact, if we look at the dietary guidelines that I was involved in putting together, we actually said that children should be eating family meals. Now, obviously, there's going to have to be a little bit of variation. If you're having something with hot chili in it, it's going to taste even hotter to a child who has very much more sensitive taste buds. So children will taste chili much hotter. They'll also taste salt as much saltier. And if they get to like that, that's what they're going to get to want all the time. So we recommended that wherever possible, in most cases, children should eat family foods. But this whole idea that you have to start off having special baby foods and then you have special toddler meals. And I mean, this was brought home to me at one stage when a highly intelligent, university-educated young mother said to me, Rosemary, is there some reason why children, little kids, can't have ordinary yogurt? And I said, well, no, why would there be? She said, well, I thought there must be, since you get special kids' yogurts. Why would you need special yogurt for children? Why would you need special sort of spag bowl for children? I mean, they can eat the family meal and they should be eating the family meal.
It truly is the power of marketing, isn't it?
It is. And these things, if you actually look at the price of them and the price per gram for things like infant yogurts and all these sort of things, they're much more expensive. So you're paying a lot for this little tiny package that you get. And even worse, some of these new packages of these foods for little kids, the kids don't even have to eat them. They're in a tube. You just open your mouth and squirt it in. And I find that really quite a problem, because we really want children to sit at the table to eat with the family when they can. I mean, obviously, there are times when, you know, one parent is home too late and the child can't wait that late for dinner. But at least at some stage during the week, we would like children to eat with their family, and we would also like them to eat the same food that the family eats.
Well, maybe we need to go one step further and just intravenously feed. You don't even have to squeeze the tube anymore. We'll pump it straight into your body. It's crazy.
It is crazy, because it takes a certain length of time until you actually feel full and you sort of register that you need to stop eating. So you can bypass that by this squirting the food in method. And people say, oh, but it's much less messy. Well, kids are messy, and if you don't want to mess with kids, then probably it's a good idea to let someone else have the children.
Well, that's a different story for a different day, I would imagine. It seems as though we like to go on to the next new thing, and I think over the last 5 years or so, sugar has been well and truly in the spotlight. Am I right in saying that salt has kind of flown under the radar, because all we've been concentrating on is sugar?
Well, I think it has for some people, and I'm always interested when people say we didn't think about sugar until the last few years either. The very first Australian dietary guidelines came out in 1981, and they recommended at the time that you look at both sugar and salt, and also bad sort of fats and not eating so much junk food. No one took any notice of them, and so they've been ignored. And we now sort of have this whole thing that people are saying, well, if my kids can't have lollies, what have I got to give them? Salted snacks. The answer is no, give them some fruit.
Yeah, it's one's not better than the other, is it?
No, and that's one of the problems. When people concentrate on one thing, so if people were concentrating for a while on salt, then everyone said, well, okay, well, lollies haven't got salt in them, so that'll be all right. Then when they start concentrating on sugar, they say, well, I'll just eat coconut fat or I'll eat salty chips or something or other. We really need to look at the whole of the diet. We can actually think of more than one thing at a time. It's just that the marketing angle, and not only the marketing angle, but the media push angle tends to concentrate on single issues. And frankly, food is much more complicated than that. But it ought to be easy. We ought to be eating, you know, good, healthy foods. They're all available in Australia. At the moment, we have children getting about almost 40% of their calories are coming from junk foods and drinks. Mm. So we really do need to pay this some attention, and we need to look at more than one thing at once. And the idea is that you don't give your kids chips because they're salty and haven't got sugar, and you don't give them lollies because they're sugary and don't have salt. You give them fruit, which are good for everything.
Fantastic. Rosemary, thanks for your time this morning.
My pleasure. Thanks, Todd.
Always great to have a chat to nutritionist Dr. Rosemary Stanton. And that's the thing, isn't it? Sugar has been in the spotlight so much over the last couple of years that insidious salt has just gone under the radar. So there you go. Message to parents and grandparents, you don't need the toddler's foods.
2NURFM 103.7.